Okay, our speaker tonight is Vinny, who's going to share his experience, strength, and hope on step five. Go ahead, Vinny, it's all yours.
Good day, everybody. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Vinny. Just want to thank you, Judith, for inviting me, and welcome to anybody that's struggling or happy, right? Welcome all. And I like to pray for all those sick and suffering everywhere, no matter what their affiliation with the program is. So I wanted to share with you today a little bit on an intimate journey in the last 6 months for myself through steps four and five. And I figured it would be really good. I basically want to talk about my experience with four and five, mainly five, but I just want to share a little insight on four, how I got there presently. So last November 2023, right after Thanksgiving break, I was terminated from a job for I was with for 13 years, and I made a few mistakes. I still am, I'm still in the belief that the mistakes I made were not justified for me to be fired. But nevertheless, I did a resentment inventory on it. Because I was angry and I was very angry. So today, 6, 7 months later, I'm still a little, I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm angry. I'm more upset and hurt now, right? So going through a grieving process, right? It's like any relationship for 13 years. So let me just backtrack. So when I made a few mistakes, they put me in a different department, blah, blah, blah. The story behind that was, I just wanted to go back to my original department. They wouldn't do that, and I didn't ask. So that's on me. So I roughed it out. And when I roughed it out, it didn't work out. So they decided to let me go, and the union did a investigation. The union and some management still believed that I wasn't in the wrong, but nevertheless, I'm not there currently anymore. And so I talked to my sponsor right after Christmas, and I says, well, I got some resentments, I want to write them down. And he was like, well, wait a minute. He goes, you're angry, upset, you're emotional. 13 years, long time. He goes, I don't suggest you write inventory right away. Just because you're angry and you're upset and you have a resentment, we're not using the tools, the spiritual toolkit to escape pain, to feel better, because that's not what we're doing. We don't do step work to feel better, even though that can be a byproduct, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we feel worse doing step work. At least I could speak for myself. So I waited a couple of months, and I went through an array of depression, anxiety, more depression than anything else. And I sought some outside help, talked to my sponsor regularly. I was sponsoring people through it all. But I allowed myself to feel the feelings, and it was actually quite healthy. You know, instead of stuffing that I'm used to doing for so long, I actually felt it. I felt all the array of feelings, and I still am. And what happened is something shifted. And by February, March, I started to shift out of the depression naturally. Now, not everybody could do that. Some people have clinical depression. Some people have situational depression, like what I had, right? Situational anxiety, situational depression, or some of them are clinically sick. And those are the ones that probably need extra help. And I highly suggest that if anybody's struggling with that, that they get the help that they need. So, and I was getting help too. You know, I was doing a lot of things. I was talking to my support group. I was talking to my therapist. I was talking to my sponsor. And my wife, of course, and I have a very strong support group. My support group is probably 5 people to 10 people, depending on the day or week. But mainly, there is five hardcore people that I can rely on at any time. And that's a blessing. That's a God blessing, because back in the day, I just had my mate, whoever was with me, and made my family if they cared to listen. And some of them didn't. Most of them didn't, to be quite honest. So today, when they say, get a support group, that's what they're talking about, So I don't even have to go to my sponsor anymore with everything. I have such a tight-knit group with people that I could share fifth steps with. So the reason why I'm here is to share my personal experience that I'm just going through, and I'm still not completely through. So I started to feel better in April, marked the end of March, beginning of April. I ran into a friend, and the friend said, "Hey, you should come check out my meeting since you're not working in the morning. It's a morning meeting, and it's probably the best meeting in San Diego." So I was like, "All right, let me give it a try." So I just show up randomly, which helped me get out of my depression. See, had at work, I ran into somebody that I haven't seen, that I helped get sober back in 2016, 2017. I run into him, right? 8 years later. He's 8 years sober. And he invites me to his home group. And it's a San Diego meeting that meets at 7 a.m. every day of the week. And it's called the RAM Group, Radical Acceptance Meeting, short for RAM. And wow. What an amazing meeting. Powerful. Probably one of the most powerful meetings I've been to San Diego. There's a few out there, but I wouldn't say it's the best, but it's definitely top three. So they meet on Waring Road in San Diego, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And so I started getting acquainted. I started getting into a routine. The depression left. I started getting into routine, taking my wife to work, showering every morning, going to the meeting, coming home after, started to write inventory on my resentments. I wrote down eight resentments. I got a principle. I got a resentment towards God, a resentment towards myself, and five people that I worked with. And I dragged ass on them, be quite honest with you. I procrastinated. I wasn't sure if I was seeing everything still 100% clearly. And then it got to the place, I think it was the end of May, middle of May, which was not too long ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago. I wrote it all out. And it came naturally, and I would sit there and do it after a meeting on Zoom that I would attend at noon and the Big Book Awakening meeting. And then I would start writing because it was staring me right in the face. I left it on my table. And so I get it done. I have an experience with getting it done. And I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I waited because I was able to see so clearly. So I call my sponsor and I said, "I'm complete." He goes, "Good, let's set up a date." So yesterday I set up a date to do a fifth step. And not that I was prolonging to doing the fifth step, I was prolonging looking at the truth. I was prolonging looking at myself because it's painful. It hurts, to be quite honest with you. 21 years later, doesn't matter. It still hurts, right? Because what's the critical voice? We all have that critical voice. And most days, I could tame the beast. That critical voice inside, I go to God. I rise above the fear pretty quickly. Not so much with these. So it took a little longer, and the critical voice was beating me up because I was there for 13 years, financial insecurity. I was able to collect unemployment. I was able to work a little, help out some friends, make some extra cash, get some of that security back to be of help at the house. But I lost all of that. The side job went away and unemployment ended 2 weeks ago. So the rubber meets the road. And I make the appointment for my fifth step. It's coming up this Thursday with my sponsor, Pat Phoebus. And we laughed a little on the phone. We made the appointment. But I want to read some things because I didn't put this timing together to do four and five. I didn't do that on my own. It happened. It happened to me. It was in the process of me being available and open and just following the directions of my heart, doing my upon awakening in the morning. Asking God how he would have me be, asking God, is there anything I could add to my day? At night, checking in and saying, okay, how did I do? Was I packing anything in the stream of life? Did I fall short? Do I owe anybody an amends? And it was a few nights where I realized that I didn't do things 100%. So the next morning, I bring it to the morning upon awakening. And then I did a 10 step, probably like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning with my wife and a couple of friends. And they kind of blew it off, like, no, it's okay. We understand you're under a lot of pressure. But it was nice to at least admit my faults, see them, and make amends quickly. right? Like the 10th step says. So my 10th step is current. From 10 a.m., after I do my upon awakening, my 10th step begins, and my 10th step ends when my 11th step nightly review begins, right before I go to bed. So sometimes I'm able to do that promptly. And the reason why I'm sharing is because in the fifth step, the first thing my sponsor asked me is, where am I at with my step 10 practice? Where am I at with my step 11 upon awakening in the morning? And where am I at with my nightly review 11th step? It's the first thing he asked. And we do a critical investigation in that program of action. So I'm prepared. I'm doing the best I can. So I just wanted to read something because something really. So the fifth step is powerful. I haven't done it in a little bit. 18 months, maybe 24 months. Some people go through the steps annually. Some do it when they feel upon it. Some do it every 18 months, every 24 months. I don't count. I'm always in the steps. I'm always serving others. Right now, I have four sponsees. I do a group on Sunday morning. I do a workshop. And I also am a co-leader on the Friday morning workshop. And I've been a co-leader since 2019 when we first started it. So I'm well-versed with the book, right? I'm in the book. I'm doing the work. I read a lot of fifth steps. I listen to a lot of fifth steps. I'm listening to fifth steps all week this week, listening to them from people from the workshop on Friday. So I'm grateful for that. And that's where I'm at. So that's why I wanted to share about it, right? So currently it's all in process. So on page 72, it says, and it's very powerful. We have admitted certain defects. We have certain in a rough way. What the trouble is, in a rough way, because it was rough. We've put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. So we're looking at the weak items. We're not looking at the pros. Now these are about to be cast out. So the cast out part to me is the one that's most profound because I can't do that. I don't work on my character defects because all I do is exercise them, right? And a landscaper friend of mine used to say, yeah, when I work on them, they pop around like daisies. And it's been my experience too. And it says requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves and another human being, the exact nature. So there's a nature here, not the defect itself. Okay. So there's two things that we look at, the nature of our defects and the defect. So the defect would be, hey, I caused this people at work harm because I wasn't telling them the truth, wasn't being honest about my mistakes. And I had an attitude holier than thou at work. Like I'm here for 13 years. I'm a great worker. I'm still an asset. You can't fire me. I had an attitude. But what was the nature behind that? Right? What caused it? Well, there's a little spirituality in there. There's a little bit of what I like to call procrastination, laziness. And the big one is authority. I still have issues with authority. Where does the nature come in with that? Well, I depend on self. I depend on self when I'm blocked. I depend on self when I'm angry. I separated myself from the spirit at work, right? I had many excuses. I won't go into them, right? We all do, right? They're just excuses, they're stories. So when it says we bring the fifth step in this program, recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter, that means I'm ready to do this, and I am ready. I left it all on the table. I got completely honest. I cried. I got upset. I cursed. I yelled. I even got snippy with my wife a few times. She goes, "What are you writing inventory or something?" She knows. She knows. And I said, "Yeah." And I had apologized to her a couple times, because I got out of hand, right? Like I said, the excuses run wild. I lost loved ones. I got toothache going. I lost my unemployment. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm in fear. So what the exact nature is, what I do with that fear is that do I act on the fear? And how do I act on the fear? Well, to remove the fear, I'm in a delusion that I could wrest satisfaction out of this world and myself instead of God. And that's where the nature comes in, right? My nature is a creature of habit. I want to control. I want to be in charge. I want to fix things. I want to make things right. I don't want to depend on God. I don't want to depend on a power. I should be able to do it. I got this many years and I know this many people and I read this and I know it's all BS. It's all an illusion. So the illusion gives power too, right? So the spiritual malady is real. It's alive and kicking, drunk or sober, and it needs to be fed. It needs to be fed, drunk or sober. What am I feeding the spiritual malady? Am I dropping off, Vinny, and I'm going to God? Well, the last few days, I could tell you I'm 100% present with my power. I'm 100% present with my maker. And guess what? I still feel like crap. But it doesn't mean that it's not working. It doesn't mean I'm not connected,
Five
right?
more minutes. Five more
Thank you.
minutes.
Thank you. So then it says, this perhaps is difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. So my sponsor gets right down to the exact nature, right? Even in the fear grid, he's like, okay, you did the fear grid. You wrote out why you had these fears. Now let me ask you this. What are you acting out on those fears? What are you doing while you're in the fear? That's what I want to know. So I have to write a list now, right? I have till Thursday. I have to write this list of what do I do? Will I spend money to avoid the fear, not deal with it, not pray, not go to God? The other thing I deal with is I'll eat. I'll overeat. Comfort food, right? Whatever you want to call it. Then I'll smoke too many cigars. I'll spend money I don't have, right? Avoiding the fear. Meanwhile, the solution's right in front of me. The solution's within me, right? Another thing I put on the list, I get lazy and I procrastinate, right? The other thing that's on the list, I start to move things. I start to keep busy, get into that busy frame of mind. Like I got to be a doer, not a being, right? I got to do. That's another one. So I started writing down these things and I started looking at the fears. I'm like, man, these are exactly what I do to avoid even thinking about the fear. Like I could just say, oh, I got fear. That's normal. We're human. I'm going to have it. But the fear drives a delusion that I'm in control. And then that fear that drives that delusion that I'm in control, it also drives a thinking pattern. And then that thinking pattern, it has to be acted out sooner or later. So then my actions come out, right? Just like the fourth column, reading it backwards from just a fear point of view, not even a resentment, right? Actions towards self. So this is what I'm about to share with my sponsor. And I know that I'm going to get some awesome feedback from him because he doesn't hold punches. He cares about my well-being, my wife, and my relationship with God and my recovery more than he does about my feelings, right? And I need that. I need someone to, I like when people care about my feelings, but that's why I'm not here for feelings. I'm here for the stark cold truth. I'm here to be humiliated. I'm here to try to practice staying in that humbleness that I don't even understand. Okay, that I may shimmer into it once in a while and not even know it. But the fact is, when I do a fifth step, it keeps me grounded of reality. Reality. Not Vinny's reality, but God's reality. The truth. Looking at myself. And the inventory says we could take it to person or persons. And my sponsor may recommend, hey, I don't have experience with that, but I know someone who does. Maybe you want to take this to someone else. So I'll read it with my sponsor, but I'll also go to somebody else. Right? And guess what? More humility. More intimacy, more vulnerability, more practicing allowing another human being into my life to let them see me for who I really am, how I really showed up. Now I know I did the best I could at the time I did it. I did. Absolutely. I even prayed while I was making the mistakes. I was doing 11-step kneeling prayers, all that stuff. So when I do this fifth step, the one thing I'm looking for, page 75, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. I'm trying to get rid of it all, guys. I'm not holding back here. I want to be free. I don't care how much it hurts. I want to be humiliated. I really do. because I want to, that's the only time I feel the most presence of my creator, when I am totally beaten down from relying on self. Because the truth is my creator. The solution is my creator. It's not me. And never has been. And I put myself on a pedestal. I put myself before God a lot of times. Not because I don't believe in God, right? Because it's beyond a belief. I know God exists today. It's in a place where I'd rather know and then not know. And the only thing I know is what I can handle. I don't know what God's up to. It's above my pay grade, you know? And my sponsor, I'll close out with this. My sponsor says, God is an 11:59 God. Last minute. So I feel that something beautiful is about to come up. You know why? Because I'm getting more and more painful. It's getting more and more painful. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It's getting a lot more painful. And with that, I'll open it up to you guys. Thank you for having me. I hope someone got something out of that.
Thanks, Vinny. That was great. What a great talk. Let's see, just a reminder, I'm going to stop the recording. Yeah, we only record the speaker, not the shares.